Okay, boys, let's just start it out hot here. Who is the biggest casual in the room right now?
In terms of what?
JP's eyes immediately went to John.
In terms of what?
In terms of the Bills?
In terms of the Bills.
John didn't know some of the players you were already talking about.
Yeah, a bunch of nobodies, though.
Who was the player that John didn't know?
There was a couple.
JP didn't know Zane Anderson.
Zane Anderson. No, I knew who he was.
Okay,
it was John.
Sure. JP knew.
Zane Anderson? I was swore.
I'm saying John. John's the biggest casual.
I'm definitely saying John.
Well, we're going to find out.
And then Hagen.
No, absolutely not. Okay, I guess we're going to find out. 3, 2, 1, yeah! Okay, welcome to the first episode of the Buffalo Sports Talk Podcast. I am your host, Ryan Hagen, sitting alongside my official co-host, Jameson Aarons here. JP, you want to say what's up?
How's it going, everybody? Looking forward to another podcast. Some of you might know me from the Royal Roundtable Podcast with Joan and Christian, but... You know, now I got asked to spread my wings a little, and I'm going to cover some Bills.
Yeah, it was a very large amount of cash that we gave him to come over to the dark side. But...
Yeah, the contract is disclosed. That will not be leaked out. It was a big contract, a lot of negotiating.
Absolutely, and you know, you had a little warm-up yesterday. It was a little while since you guys recorded, so you're here and you're ready. And then the unofficial, I guess you could say, co-host of the podcast will be working on official inking deals over here. Max and John. John, you want to say what's up first?
Yeah, I look forward to spreading my takes and my wisdom here, and look to contribute a lot to this great podcast.
Max, what's up?
Yeah, it's just a pleasure to be here. I'm really excited to shoot some takes off with the boys. I'm excited.
Yeah, well, these two are kind of want to be their Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman of this podcast, so we'll see how that goes. Before we hop into any topics here, let's just start out with kind of how the road to the BSC podcast. Want to give out a few thank yous. Obviously, thank you to all the boys in the room. You know, we've been here since 2017 and been working towards this, and now there's officially some talk in the Buffalo Sports Talk name. And shout out to our guys at the Royal Roundtable with Jonah and Christian, kind of getting the ball rolling and giving us a pathway to do this. So let's just hop right into it. The NFL Top 100 came out recently. Obviously, that's a big topic of debate, all the teams, you know, going at each other. Boys, any surprises in there or anything you guys want to talk about from that?
I got something right off the bat. I love Lamar Jackson, but the people who were complaining about how, where was he, in the 70s or something? People were complaining about that. Like, he was injured for, like, the second half of the year, basically, with his PCL. Like, I thought that was a lot of undeserving... complaining about that spot. I thought it was pretty accurate.
You thought he was milking the injury?
It's a knee injury. That's pretty serious.
Well, there were some things with his contract, though, that people were saying, but...
He was 72.
72? Okay. Yeah.
Well, I think it's just with any player that gets injured. Like, the thing I was thinking about was Vaughn didn't make the NFL Top 100. And if you're going to sit there and tell me that he's not a Top 100 player, it's a little ridiculous. But I think it's just because of the injury. Like, he played, I think, 11 games. I was looking at it last night. Had 8 sacks, but... At the end of the day, it's just because of the injury. So,
and he was second in quarterback pressures, I believe. I'm not sure the percent, but I know he didn't play a full season.
On the team or in the NFL?
No, in the NFL. I believe it was Micah Parsons and then him and then Trey Hendrickson. I could pull it up.
Well, I have PFF set. Premium sitting right in front of me here, guys. So maybe we'll stat check you, get Jamie on that. Matt Milano cracks the top 100 for the first time with the 69th spot in the top 100. Poyer obviously checking in 57, Diggs at 16, and Josh at 8. Joe Burrow's going to be in front of Josh. What do you guys think of that one? And Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts was kind of the more controversial.
Yeah, he was at 3,
one.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
Was he 3?
I think he was 3.
Look, Burrow I'm not surprised about, but I'll tell you what, Jalen Hurts being number 3 is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, he... Let's just compare stats from Josh to Jalen Hurts, okay? Jalen Hurts, he had 3,700 yards passing, 22 passing touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and 760 rushing yards. Josh had 4,300 yards thrown, 35 touchdown thrown, 14 picks, and 760 yards rushing. Josh had better stats, he had a better QBR, he had less weapons, he was hurt all year. A less experienced offensive coordinator, and Jalen Hurts is getting all this praise for, I'm not saying he's a system quarterback, but he's got the best system in the league. Like, he had the best supporting cast last year. He had everything there to make him a good quarterback, and I just find it absolutely ridiculous that he's number three.
Thoughts on the QB sneak?
Not a fan of the play, but it is what it is. But, like, if you were to name your top five QBs in the league right now, would you have Jalen Hurts in your top five?
I might have him at five.
That's a good question. I'd have to really think on that, but I might have him at four or five.
I don't think I would.
I think he's...
I don't think he can be four. I still got to put Rodgers over him.
Well, then you got...
I think he
fits. You got Herbert over him?
Oh, man, I don't know. I might take Hurts over Rodgers at the end of the day, but...
I think he fits the team way better. I think he's the prototype that they needed for that team.
Well, I think it's the same thing definitely. You were just saying. Like, who was Rodgers throwing the football to last year? Nobody.
Yeah. That's what I just think.
Oh, yeah.
Hurts had the best supporting cast.
I think, yeah, you can get into the supporting cast debate, but I think at the end of the day, like, you can't convince me that Josh Allen isn't a better quarterback than Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts. And, I mean, if you can make the debate with Mahomes, I don't think there is a debate now that Mahomes has another Super Bowl, but, like, you're not going to win that debate. I think you could say Josh is a better quarterback, but I don't think you're going to win that debate now that Mahomes has another Super Bowl. But
I actually, I do have the high pressure percentage last season. It was via ESPN, not PFF. And it was one with Micah Parsons at 17.4. And then Von Miller at 14.5. Trey Hendrickson, 13.8. Then after that, Nick Bosa and Justin Houston, who is now with the Panthers.
Yeah, and that's the one thing. I feel like when we signed Von Miller, and this is going way back, but a lot of people didn't really see him as a top 100 player. I remember that getting flack last year. And I think it's ridiculous to think that he's not still one of the best edge rushers in the league.
Well, he did spend that year playing under Aaron Donald, I guess. I mean, you're going to get overshadowed by Aaron Donald getting blocked by three guys.
That is true.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald's going to look that good.
It also does help you to a point.
And there's a ton of big names on that.
A lot. I mean, Leonard Floyd, who we have now, which I love.
Jalen Ramsey, Bobby Wagner.
Ramsey was around there, yeah.
No, I don't think Bobby Wagner was there that
season.
That
was when he left.
No, Bobby Wagner left the Seahawks at a terrible time. And I think he's back there now, if I recall correctly, this offseason.
Jamie, get on that. Someone check that out.
Shoot shots in the dark.
But yeah, I mean, I think there's every reason in the world why people were thinking that Von might not be Von. But at the end of the day, he's still Von Miller, still one of the best in the league. So with that being said, we can kind of move on to, I call this the state of the union for the roster and the training camp. I don't know if that's the greatest word, but I just kind of thought that if there was a way in which McDermott would say, just address everybody right now, now would be the time to do it. We're in the training camp. We're going in the first preseason game. So the state of the union, Max, you put your hand up. You got something?
Yeah,
to talk
I got
about?
Bobby Wagner is back with the Seahawks.
I told you. Thank you.
This guy, John's on it. John's maybe.
And by the way, he also was number 62 on the top 100 players.
Was he?
Yep.
Oh,
Bobby Wagner?
Bobby Wagner was 62.
So he was over Matt Milano.
He was also Matt Milano then, yeah.
Okay. That's ridiculous.
So the state of the union here. So the Bills released their first official depth chart. There were a lot of interesting things on this. I think one of the more interesting things, though, to look at was Deontay Hardy / Khalil Shakir in the kind of slot receiver role. It's been a battle that's been heating up throughout camp. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think this is Shakir's opportunity to win the job. I mean, what round did we pick him in? Fourth?
I want to say it was the fourth, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it fourth or fifth? I mean, it was a day three pick. I do think a lot of people came out and they're like, oh, this guy is going to, you know, he's going to be a star. He'll be a stud. It was like, but it was a day three pick. I think it was a little forward of people to assume that this guy is going to be a staple of the offense. And I mean, Hardy, we gave Hardy a lot of money. Like, they must really like him. He's got the speed. He's going to give you the value as a return man on top of it. But they must really like him if they gave him that much money.
Yeah, well, one thing, like, I don't remember a specific stat, and I hate that because I want to reference, like, actual stats on here. But there was some stat when we signed him that it was, like, he had ranked in the top five among, like, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, in, I want to say it was, like, yards.
Separation yards.
Separation, yeah. It was something like that. So, I mean, in the training camp practice I had gone to, he really flashed, so... I think that they're honestly going to go with maybe a little bit of mix in that role in the slot, but it'll definitely be something to see. And both those guys can kind of work down the field, too. But, JP, you were saying that you heard on GR that Bean basically said that Shakir's going to get a more advanced role in the offense this year?
I think since he's another year in the offense, they're saying he's got more experience already. But, personally, I think at the end of the day, it comes down to who's going to be the punt and kick returner. Because... we know that usually whoever is a the returner for the Bills usually isn't involved in the offense much. So I think whoever wins that job isn't going to be involved as much in the offense. And I personally think it's going to be Hardy probably, and then Shakir's going to be more involved in the offense, and then Hardy will be more of like our McKenzie type role, like more of our gadget guy. But that's what I think it comes down to.
Shakir was a fifth-round pick, by the way, not a fourth, fifth.
Was he, all like, right. The first? No, Ariza was the first pick in the fifth round, I think.
Yeah, so I think when referencing this battle, though, it's hard not to look at that kick-returner battle, as you said, because typically that person's not very involved in the offense. You saw that for years with various guys. I feel like it'd be hard, though, to with the money that you've paid Deontay Hardy, to not have him involved in the offense in some way. And the gadget role that you said seems to be the way that they're going to do it. But another name here, and I talked about you with you, JP, the other day about this guy. I don't know. He was referenced here earlier. But Andy Isabel, a pickup from Arizona, a guy who ran, I think, a 4-2 something in the combine. Second-round pick. This is a guy that I think probably will make the practice squad. They have him at kick returner. He kind of seems to be the third guy in that slot role. But maybe it's a hot take. I think he probably will make the practice squad, and who knows, maybe see him in a game this year.
I think if he gets to the practice squad, I think another team will pick him up.
I don't think that guy can catch, which is why he was released from Arizona, I believe. And I think he also had pressure on him. He was drafted ahead of DK Metcalf, and I think – one other stud wide receiver in that second round that year.
Wasn't Debo late that year?
Was AJ Brown a second round pick? I think Debo.
They were all like.
Debo had a question mark though, because he was perceived more as like a running back kind of like. I think he was a running back out of college. Don't quote me on that.
He was a running back at some point in college, I believe, but then switched to wide receiver.
Yeah, obviously, you could tell how he runs that. Obviously, Debo. Yeah. Way better player.
So, are you trying to tell me that you would take all those guys over Andy Isabella?
Right now, no. You know, I got to root for the Bills and the hometown boys. I think back on the Khalil Shakir thing, though, I think that obviously he's younger than Deontay Hardy, and he's a half a foot taller. And clearly if the Bills are doing this two tight end thing, they're going to go big. So, and he also made a sick catch when they played the Dolphins. I believe I was there for that. And I think
you believe you were there?
Oh, I was there for it. He was there. I believe it was the Dolphins game. And I just think he's got way more of a ceiling. Or way more of a potential higher ceiling.
Like a long-term role in this offense.
Yeah.
He's had flashes already.
Yeah.
He has flashes of what Gabe Davis was that one playoff stretch. Obviously, he didn't have three touchdowns. Yeah, he didn't have three touchdowns. But
okay.
When the dude's making spectacular catches.
Six touchdowns
obviously
in the playoffs? Then you have six, two against the Pats, four against the Chiefs.
I think that's right, yeah.
I think so.
I thought it was three against... Was it four?
It was four.
Four.
It was
remember?
Four.
Remember?
It
was
four.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that game, you know. Turned it off.
I hope you remember that game.
Yeah.
Turned it off after we scored that game-winning touchdown to Allen, and all of a sudden we didn't play next week. I don't know what happened.
Wait, what game were we talking about here?
The Chiefs game?
I don't remember that game. It's funny how that works.
The other thing with Hardy, though, is that he's probably the fastest guy in our offense now. With Hines gone, who probably was the fastest guy, so
I think Hardy still was faster than Hines.
Yeah,
Gabe Davis,
I don't think that's a question.
Gabe Davis is sneaky fast, though, in terms of running deep balls.
Yeah,
and I think
Davis has size, man. He's a bigger guy.
That ankle healing up, I think it's really going to help him, because you look at the Chiefs game, the touchdowns he scored, obviously that one super deep one, and that was also helps when you have Allen who could just throw it anywhere. But obviously that last touchdown to go ahead, that he completely, that was all like ankle work, that wasn't speed or anything.
Well, he had said in a press conference recently that he like he had got injured early in the season last year, and that he felt like he lost a step. So, and
he,
if you remember back
right
to those early games, I mean, he beat Ramsey deep on a touchdown.
That was Diggs.
My bad. He beat he had a Steelers game, he had a big touchdown, he had two big touchdowns that game, he had a few big touchdowns really early in the season. So I think that's definitely possible.
Actually,
that he lost a step.
Technically, I think when he scored the touchdown against the Rams in week 1 last year, I think Ramsey was on him.
I think you might
I'd
be
have
right
to
about
go
that
back and check the film, but I'm pretty sure I remember Ramsey gave up both the passing touchdowns from Josh.
I think you might be right about that.
I know it was an awesome design play, by the way. to get Davis that open. But I do believe Ramsey was the closest guy there, and because Josh rolled out to his right and he dropped it over him.
It was a block and release off the line. I remember that, and he was just wide open. Well, speaking of catching touchdowns, block and release, Dalton Kincaid flashing obviously in throughout training camp. Excited to see what he has in the first preseason game. Just kind of curious what you guys kind of expect from him this season.
I kind of got big expectations for him. I feel like there's been so many good things coming out of camp. Like Dawson Knox has been talking him up so much. Said he's not even like a rookie out there. Like he knows what he's doing. He's great. He's got great routes. He understands the defenses. Like I'm kind of expecting, like, I don't know, once we get to the end of the season, he averages like 5 targets a game at least. Like, yeah. I think he's going to have a big role in this offense, and I think that'll be a big step for our offense. And if he doesn't take that step, then we'll see what happens.
Man, I think he can be that good. He is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's such a weapon. Like, it goes back a few years, but like he doesn't have the size Gronk had, but when the Pats used to put Gronk outside and he was just one-on-one on a cornerback, like that was the most overpowered thing ever. Yeah. So now imagine Josh Allen throwing the ball to Kincaid, and Kincaid's got a 5'11 cornerback on him outside. Like that could be something special.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one thing, too, with Kincaid that I've seen is so many people are hyping him up right now, even, like, national media. So it'll be interesting to see how the Bills use him, because you look back the past few years, like, the Bills really make their rookies earn playing time. And I know that that's kind of something that's been debated among, like, Bills fans on Twitter. But if you look, you know, like, Kyir Elam's not really even still in the mix. Shakir pretty much sat out all of last year. There's other instances, like, Deion Dawkins has started pretty much his entire time here. I know he's behind Cordy Glenn when he first came around, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I also saw that someone reported that they pretty much had Kincaid on the field for like every first team snap to this point. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
He's gonna have the chance to take it over. He'll have the chance to be the slot guy.
If it's done right, that red zone offense can be amazing, man. I mean, like James Cook at running back, and then you got Allen, and then you got Knox and Kincaid out there with Diggs and Davis. Like that's gonna be awesome when we're in the red zone. Like,
yeah. Especially since he is a tight end, it's gonna help up the running game too, which people,
I mean, he's not the greatest run blocker, but
it's a lot better than
Hardy out there.
Or Cole Beasley throwing blocks on the edge or something like that.
That's the one thing I've been saying is like Bean said they're gonna run 12 personnel, but it's not really gonna be 12 personnel. But if you have him flexed out wide and he's standing on the line like a receiver, he's blocking any cornerback at the end of the day.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I always like that because you go to, like, the Niners with Shanahan, like, how good that offense is. Part of that is, like, he preaches to his wide receivers, like, you got to block. You got to block, and then we'll also get you the ball.
Yeah.
If our guys block, maybe our running game would be a lot better. I think that can be a big, like, upgrade in our game. If we got better blocking downfield for our guys, that would take the offense to a whole new level.
Well, you're absolutely going to need it with James Cook's speed, and that's a great transition for blocking is the offensive line battle that's kind of going on right now. There's a lot of guys within that room. Max, you kind of touched on it in your blog. Just looking at offensive guard, they have McGovern and Bates as the two first-teamers, and then they have Torrence as a second-teamer, which is interesting. It's been a kind of a rotation in camp. Any thoughts on that one?
I think Torrence will beat out Bates. I think he'll beat out Bates at the end of it.
Yeah, I think they want Ryan Bates in there at the start, and I think that's just because he knows the offense more for now. Obviously, we haven't even played a preseason game yet, but I think since Bates is so versatile, you're going to see him kind of creep back, kind of see Torrence take that job over, and then if Mitch Morse happens to go down, which obviously we know he's not the greatest health-wise at this point.
Yeah, he's had many concussions throughout his time, so he's like the kind of conversation around Mitch Morse is if he has one more concussion, like what could happen?
Yeah. So you're at some point in that game, along the season, you're better off having Ryan Bates kind of come off the bench and be that utility man. Because if he gets hurt, then you're gonna have to move in two guys rather opposed to one.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing about, like you said, about Bates. I think that makes sense. There's really not that much of a difference between Torrence and Bates.
Yeah.
Might as well just be the backup center, backup guard kind of position.
I'm a big fan of Torrence, man. I think he's the foundation of the line in the future. JP can attest to that. I've told him this multiple times. I told him I wanted to draft him in the first round. We ended up trading up for Kincaid. I think that worked out. He fell to us in the second. I don't really understand why Avila was taken over him. He's the second guard taken in the draft. I think it was a steal in the second round.
Yeah, and people were mocking, like you said, Torrence to the Bills in the first round, but I think Kincaid at the end of the day, like if you could take, and just to shift the conversation back to him quick, because this is a thought I've had, if you could take, like build a player in a lab to fit in the Bills offense right now, it'd be Dalton Kincaid. Like absolutely not a question. You'd take him. So
or another wide receiver.
Or another wide receiver. Yeah, like a Tyreek Hill kind of player.
But yeah.
That could be Deontay Hardy. You never know.
Yeah, so. I think I would take another top five or top three wide receiver as well.
So the biggest question on the Bills offensive line over the last 2 years has been the right tackle position. Obviously with Spencer Brown holding it down, there's been some analytics out there I've seen that Spencer Brown does not grade well at all. The Bills brought in Brandon Schell, who is actually a second-teamer right now, and Quesenberry, who is the third-team right tackle. Any thoughts on that, guys? I know Quesenberry played some time. I don't know if you guys looked into that all last year.
I mean, I think Spencer Brown, I think last year you could kind of give him the same excuse as Gabe Davis. He was kind of hurt all year. Like, he didn't have a full offseason last year. Like, he pretty much just went right into the games. And that's a whole nother year of development for him. Someone who really wasn't even expected to start right away, and he did with the Bills. So I think this is definitely his last year if he doesn't perform. But I would give him another chance. I mean, he's got the frame. He's got the build. And I think he will be better than everybody thinks. But at the end of the day, he has graded very bad, and he needs to take a big step if our offensive line needs to get better.
Yeah, and if he doesn't work, I think Schell is an extremely serviceable starting tackle.
Yeah, I don't remember the specific numbers on it last year, but Schell started a lot of games with Miami and was more than serviceable for them.
Was it Miami?
Yeah, he was in Miami.
Yeah, it was.
Did he play in the Jets, too?
I don't know, to be
honest. He's been all over.
That's something that
I think he played in the Jets in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
He played on the Patriots.
I prefer him not to start, but if it comes down to it,
yeah, but if you get a Spencer Brown and it's this guy's struggling, I'll take Brandon. He did play for the Jets.
Yeah,
John was right about that. Okay,
and Hagan's saying he wasn't graded well. That's even generous. Like he was like out of 100 scale. I saw this one rating. He was rated a 2.
Was it a 2? I thought it was an 8.
Okay, maybe it was an 8.
It was an 8.
I mean, like our offensive line was extremely bad graded just because of him. Like the rest of our line was fine. He was awful.
I think the other lowest Bill, it might have been Bates with like a 40.
Yeah.
Oh no, it was probably I don't remember specifically. It's probably Saffold. But somebody else Saffold was like in the 40s, and that was the second lowest. And then it was obviously Spencer Brown there with an 8. And there were a few guys underneath him, surprisingly, throughout the NFL, but I don't know. But the thing is with Spencer Brown though, is he is so big and he is so athletic. And you have seen tackles take jumps, like young tackles take jumps. So he could take a jump this year and be an elite starting right tackle. Like, you just never know.
And I think that's why Torrence could be so important, just to, you know, lock up the spot right next to him and to get some more chemistry. Like, that could be huge.
Absolutely. Because there's been a rotating door there, really, since Bates came in. Before they had, like, Daryl Williams checking in. And
Daryl Williams was, for all the flack he got, he was not that bad until the very end.
Yeah, he had a good year.
No, he had a really good year. I think it was in 2020.
I think he regressed, but I think he was all right.
Well, when they had drafted Spencer Brown, I think they moved him inside to guard, and he just that's the reason why he left Carolina in the first place. He wasn't a guard. He was way better at tackle. So it just kind of didn't work out. They wanted to get Spencer Brown those reps and some other guys those reps. But
one more note on those tackles. I made a note of this in the case that Spencer Brown was a standout in camp. Doesn't look like that's the case. I know he's had good days and bad days, but Schell is cheaper to cut than Quesenberry.
Okay, that's interesting. I would have a hard time believing that they would move on from both of them, but that is a possibility. I know that Tommy Doyle is also in the mix. I think he was listed as the backup left tackle. But I know that they also have rotated Quesenberry over there, too.
Yeah, he's the only one in there with a playoff touchdown.
That is true. He does. That is also so baller of... I think it was Daboll. It was Daboll, yeah. We're up. We have not punted all game. And we're up by, like, what, 5-6 scores? And Daboll just throws a a touchdown to an offensive tackle.
Me and John were right in front of it. We were 10 rows above
yes,
it.
Yes, I was there right, for
I,
that.
Yeah, I think I called it, actually.
Dable,
I called it. That's an offensive line touchdown.
Dable also got a lot of slander. Obviously, he went on to the Giants. They had a good year. I don't think they'll be as good as they are this year, but obviously, Ken Dorsey would like to see him a little bit higher, but obviously, you know, you look at the departure of Brian Dable and then where our offense was at last year. You gotta hope they take a jump, otherwise it's looking like Brian Dable moving on was kind of a problem.
Yeah. Well, the thing I'll say is, like, if you look at the Bills' offense up until Allen got hurt, I don't think I've ever seen it look more explosive. Like, throughout, you know, the Rams game, the Steelers game, some of those early games you think of, like,
the Titans game.
That was amazing. We were massacre. Yeah.
We were massacring teams week after week, and even games where we weren't, we were still putting up a lot of points, like the Green Bay game. Like, we beat them, I think, by two or three scores, but we still put up, like, 40,
Didn't
I think.
Didn't cover the spread.
But, like, we were massacring teams. And then Josh had an elbow injury, and, you know, other things happened. There was a snowstorm, and we had to get snowmobile to the airport, and just so many things that happened.
Game moving to Detroit, and then playing Detroit again the next week.
Yeah. I'll say, like, I just think that this is a clean slate now for everybody, and we'll see how Ken Dorsey does. But definitely not going to be on Dorsey's back at this moment in time that I think, you know, he deserves some time. And he had a solid first season.
Yeah, I mean, I was a big Dable criticizer. I kind of miss him. And I was a massive Ken Dorsey hater last year.
You hate
especially
OCs.
At the end of the year.
You hate OCs.
Yeah, like, at the end of the year, I didn't have some pretty words for him. But I'll give him another chance because Josh was hurt. It was his first year. Like, no offensive coordinator in the first year has ever really gone that far. So I'll give him another chance. You better take a step.
Yeah, you can't deny his passion. Obviously, that week four loss kind of got turned into a meme when he got a little hot-headed, but that just means he cares about the team, and honestly, that was a good play call. Bad execution on that team.
Well, that's the one thing you have to consider, too, is, like, what is the execution? Are guys executing the game plan? Are they executing Dorsey's game plan? Because at the end of the day, he could scheme a guy open and Josh decides not to throw to him, or he can scheme up the perfect play and the guy drops the pass. So there's so many different factors that it's hard to put it all on the offensive coordinator, but, I mean, over time it'll tell. We'll see if he's the guy.
I mean, my issue was that his offense at the second half of the year was just not creative at all. It was so vanilla, and that was my biggest issue. Like, we have all these weapons, and he just wasn't using them. So I hope he does better this year, but that was my biggest gripe with him.
Kind of like he ran out of juice. I mean, like, it was like, what was week three? Was that the Steelers?
Week three, I think, was the season.
That's like three flawless weeks. Mm-hmm. like, that's tough.
Well, like, when
Dolphins game, the Heat game, that's... Yeah, that was like his first, like, his major moment of, like, all right, you know, this is where he's at. This is his, like, low point, hopefully. And then the playoff game, obviously, you know, we only had four losses. Can you blame it really all on the offense? I think we're a little bit too harsh.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even want to go into that playoff game and who you can blame it on because there's so many different opinions that you could have. I just think when you look at an offensive coordinator, too, especially when they first come out of the gates, they're going to be a little... Because teams don't know what to expect, so you have some sort of advantage. And then you go throughout the year and teams kind of start to figure out what you're doing. You got to get more creative. So in his second year, he's got the offseason now, some new playmakers. Really, like, a lot of new pieces on the offensive line, a lot of new pieces in the running back room, a lot of new pieces at wide receiver, tight end. He's going to have some time to figure it out, and we'll see what he's able to do, especially also with a healthy Josh Allen.
Yeah, so that line's got to step up. I'm sick of watching Josh Allen have to run around, be Superman.
Yeah. Exactly.
And, you know, on a random 1st and 10.
With maybe. No UCL either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now he has one. But.
Well, the one thing I'll too say about Josh Allen running is something I loved about Dable was, I think Mina Kimes pointed this out too last year, was whenever there was just an emergency situation, Brian Dable would go, okay, we're going to run the ball with Josh Allen. We're just going to pull our guard. We're going to run to the outside. And Josh, you're going to take the ball, put it in your arm like a running back, and just run and see what happens. Nine times out of ten, it worked. And Ken Dorsey, I just didn't see. You saw it a little bit in the Miami game last year. I think he had a big 50 or 60-yard run. But down the stretch, especially even in that Cincinnati game, it wasn't like we were running the ball with Josh Allen. And you could contribute that to his UCL, but I just don't know if that was the reason why we weren't doing it.
Yeah, I think that might be McDermott, though. I mean, they've been preaching for years now that Josh can't be running and taking as many hits. So that might not be Dorsey as much.
Yeah. Well, that's a good segue, Sean McDermott, going into the defense, because he's going to be the new defensive coordinator, obviously, and head coach. And it's going to be Sean McDermott's defense this year, so it's going to be interesting to see how, if there's any changes. Obviously, took over from Leslie Frazier. We've brought in some new personnel, Taylor Rapp. Obviously, Tremaine Edmonds is out, and there's some new guys throughout the entire defense. So maybe we'll see some different schemes, some different adjustments that are made. But let's just start with the defensive end room. Max, you kind of wrote about it a little bit in your blog, but it's a loaded defensive end room. So if you want to take it and just talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys. And based on what I'm hearing out of camp, first of all, Von Miller was just interviewed a couple days ago, last week. And he had only great things to say about Greg Rousseau, former first-round pick. This guy was a stud at Miami University. You know, he sat out the 1 year with COVID, and we drafted him. It was a project pick. This guy's going to be a project, but he's got the potential. And this might be a year he takes a massive step. He's a freak in nature. That guy's tall, huge, wide frame. He can reach anywhere.
And he was playing amazing across from Von Miller before he was hurt.
Yeah, yes. He was.
Well, the one thing I'll say, and Max, you wrote it in your blog that you want to see Rousseau make a step. And at first I was like, well, I think he is a very good player already. But then, for the Bills truly to be that Super Bowl team, they need a guy across from Von who is also just a monster. And I don't think Greg is there yet. I think he's a great player. I think he had a great year last year. But I think he could take one more step and be a true threat across from Von Miller, and that could be really the next push for that team.
Also, any of you guys know how many sacks AJ Epenesa had last year?
Six?
Three.
I was going to say six.
Six and a half.
Six and a half.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, and they love him this year, apparently.
Well, yeah. It's about time he gets some love, because it seems like he's never on the field.
Well, the one thing I've always said about Epenesa, and they've talked about this earlier, is coming out of college, he was 280 pounds. And the Bills wanted him to completely change his play style. They wanted him to play with more speed off the edge, and he needed to. But that really set him back the first year. They said that I think he cut down to 250, and then he got too light. So he was really playing, trying to figure out his weight that first year, and I think it set him back. So now going into, his fourth year?
This is his fourth year, yeah.
It really kind of feels contract like his third year. So, and it's a contract year, so this could be a big step for Epenesa.
Yeah, not to mention they got Leonard Floyd. Awesome signing. Yeah, another guy that
underrated.
Another guy that Super Bowl, he won a Super Bowl with the Rams. This guy's played with amazing defensive players. I mean, that 2018 Bears defense was awesome. So he played with Aaron Donald and Bobby Wagner and of course Vaughn, and now he's back with Vaughn.
And Taylor Rapp.
Taylor Rapp. He played with Jalen Ramsey too, technically. He played with so many good players, man. He could bring a lot to that, not a lot of knowledge, a lot of intelligence to that team. He can help some of these young guys we got around there take a step. And then,
he's got a lot of intensity, too. He's really, he's got that dog in him. In that one, there's one clip that came out. He won a play, completely broke up the backfield, got in the guy's face. He was slapping up McDermott. That's something that some of these guys need. Some of the rookies need. They need that guy to get the fire going in him. And he's definitely going to bring that.
Yeah, he's a dog.
And he knows how to get there. You said, he's a Super Bowl champion. He knows what to do.
Yeah. Another thing, I'm just looking at his stats here, and obviously sacks are and everything, but 2020 he had 10.5. Yeah. 2021 he had 9.5. And then last year he had 9. That's another guy that if Greg Rousseau's not that guy across from Von Miller, there's Leonard Floyd too. And the other thing is, Von Miller's not playing week 1. You can walk out there with Leonard Floyd and Greg Rousseau as your DN1, DN2. That's still a very solid combination that's going to get after the pass rusher.
You got depth, too. A lot of depth.
Absolutely. And speaking of depth and speaking of somebody who has a dog in him, Shaq Lawson. They have 6 really solid defensive ends right now, and I don't know if they've really kept 6 defensive ends in years past, and I don't know if any of these guys can fit on the practice squad. So I don't know who your cut candidate is or your trade candidate is in this, but I'd find it hard to believe that Shaq Lawson's not on the roster.
I love Shaq.
You can't not.
I'm so happy he came back.
He's a guy.
Remember when he fought Leonard Fournette and then
that was
Fournette
great.
And then got kicked out and then they were fighting in the tunnel? That was peak
that
Bills.
That was great.
What was that, 2018?
I don't know if that was the year we made the playoffs.
No, it was
that
not.
No, it was the year.
That was the 6-10 year. It was Josh Allen's year.
Yeah. Was that the Robert Foster game? Josh Allen and Robert Foster.
Oh yeah, that was when he was on the Jags. Yeah. Yes. 100%.
I think what they'll do with that is, assuming Von, he's probably gonna be on PUP to start the year. I think Shaq will make the team initially, and then we'll see how he plays, and someone's probably gonna get cut or maybe traded out of that defensive end room, because you're not keeping six. There's no way.
One more I got about Kingsley Jonathan. Dog. All right. Syracuse guy.
Syracuse product.
He was good in that Christmas Eve game against the Bears. Like, he was a dog. He was all over the place. This random guy.
He shined in the preseason last year, and I think he ended up going to the Bears then.
Yeah.
We put him on our practice squad, and he got snatched up by somebody. I don't know if it was the Bears right away or not, but he got snatched up immediately, so I'm happy that he's back.
Hey, Shane Ray, too. Former first-round pick. That's true. Trying to make a comeback. Ray. I think he's had a good camp, so a lot of choices, but you know, only five are probably going to make the team.
So that's a good transition going into the interior of the defensive line. It's kind of an interesting situation there as well, and Max, this was covered in your blog as well. But Ed Oliver is the only player here long-term on that room. You have Puna Ford, who's on a one-year deal. You have Daquan Jones on a one-year, Jordan Phillips on a one-year, and Tim Settle on a one-year. And even with that being said, not all those guys will make the roster. So, obviously, I think Puna Ford's an amazing addition to the defensive line. He'll definitely make the team. I don't know if anyone differs from opinion, but...
No, good run stuffer. I know he played for the Seahawks. I'm not sure... Was he drafted by the Seahawks, or was he unsigned or undrafted free agent? I don't think it really matters. Dude's a stud. I always signed him when I played Madden franchise because he always had that star potential. So I hope he reaches it in Buffalo.
Nice.
Yeah, he's just been on Seattle, so he was a... I don't know if he's undrafted or not, but he's just been with Seattle. Guy's kind of flown under the radar.
Big dude.
Massive. He is a big dude. He's 5'11",
3'10". 5'11"? I thought he was bigger than that.
That's what Pro Football Reference has.
That dude's a refrigerator.
So, yeah, moving on.
Which I love, by the way, I loved it because of the size. I know me and JP talked about it. I wanted to draft Ika.
Yeah,
the kid out of Baylor, because he is 400 pounds. He's a freak. Yeah. But I'm happy we got Puna Ford.
Yeah, we like some big men on the offensive line. The offensive defensive line.
Okay.
I got one more. I got like a hypothetical question here, since we're talking about that room. Ed Oliver got paid.
Yeah.
This can be answered two ways. Did he deserve that contract? / will he earn that contract?
Will he earn that contract?
Do you think he deserved it now?
Do I think he deserved it now? I don't know. It's a lot of money.
Let me pull something up that will make it sound very, very good.
I mean, the sack production's not there. If you're looking at simply two and a half sacks last year in 13 games.
His contributions don't get shown on the stat sheet as much. Like,
he's got good hustle, too.
He's a good disruptor. Very good disruptor. He might not have the stats. But...
All right, so here is the numbers from the defensive tackles assigned this offseason. Quinnen Williams, 4 years, $96 million. Jeffrey Simmons, 4 years, $94 million. Darren Payne, 4 years, $90 million. Dexter Lawrence, the same deal, 4 years, $90 million. Javon Hargrave, 4 years, $84 million. And then in comes Ed Oliver, 4 years, $68 million. So he's making almost $20 million left from all, or $20 million less than all of these guys. And not saying that he has had the same production as these guys, but he could very well be on that level if he keeps getting the right playing time and the right thing. And of course, Chris Jones did not get paid yet, and I assume he will probably be the highest paid.
Remember when he was in college at Houston, and like, going into the 1 year, he was, like, on Heisman watch lists. Like, he was supposed to be, like, the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
At the start, and, like, that summer and the start of that year. Like, he was highly regarded in college.
I remember when we drafted him, I was so happy. That was the player that I wanted at 9, I think it was, that we took him.
Yep.
And the other day, Von was on Part of My Take, and he said, he's like, Ed Oliver is a college Hall of Famer. He's like, that is no doubt in my mind.
I mean,
he was literally getting compared to Aaron Donald
yeah.
coming out of college, which is just, I mean, that was probably one of the biggest reasons why he kind of got a little overhyped, because he was literally getting compared to Aaron Donald, and then people had such high expectations for him, and he definitely has not lived up to them, but he has the potential. Like, I'm hoping he has a big year this year. Like, he does need to show a lot of people why he got this contract.
And that was a steal in that draft. Like, shout out to the Raiders for taking Clinton Farrell fourth overall.
Yeah. That saved us. And was that the Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones got drafted sixth. TJ Hockenson got drafted, I think, eighth.
Yeah, that was the draft where, like, we all knew that if we wanted, because I remember wanting Josh Allen too, because Josh Allen was good, but I also wanted a second Josh Allen.
That's right. Josh Allen was the other guy. Yeah.
So I just remember that there was, like, you need, like, two or three picks that would really just make him drop, and it was the Clelin Farrell.
Clelin Farrell was, like, the number one head scratcher of all time.
Yep. And then Daniel Jones, which we'll see how that works out for the Giants. But,
and Hockenson going right before us.
Christian Wilkins went like three picks after, by the way.
Yeah, he did. For what it's worth, like, this is what I'll say about Ed Oliver, is it's another guy came in like undersized, like comparisons to Aaron Donald, but to be Aaron Donald, like, how realistic is that?
That's a, yeah.
I think Ed Oliver will be a guy that's playing his best football when he's 28, 29, 30, 31. And the deal, I think, goes until he's 30 or 31. So he very well could live up to that contract. And, John, that was a good point to kind of point out what other guys were getting paid in that same range. And
also, I love you, Jordan Phillips.
Yeah, that dude's a stud.
Yes.
I love that he's back.
Well, Vaughn's, like, really good friends with him, man. He, like, kept referring to him in that interview. And at first, when he was saying Jordan, I thought he was talking about Jordan Poyer. And then eventually, he was saying somebody that I was like, oh, he's Jordan Phillips he's talking about.
He just got activated, I think. I think he was pup list, and I think he's back now.
Yeah, well, that's okay. And we cannot finish. I would hate to finish, because I was about to move on, the defensive tackle room without Daquan Jones. Daquan Jones had a great year last year. I think that was a guy that I was expecting, honestly, to get extended for cap purposes, that he could get a few years extension and they could relieve some cap going into this year. But he quietly had a good season for the Bills throughout, especially late last year. And one of the things that was noticed was he did not play in that Bengals game. So I don't know how much of an impact that was, but that's a guy I just want to give a shout-out to.
Yeah. I think there's this one Twitter account that has been right with some Bills insider stuff in the past year or two, and he tweeted out today that some players on the team are in the talks for extensions, and I would assume Daquan Jones is one of them.
What was the Twitter account? I'm curious. Maybe we can give a quick shout-out here. I'm just curious. Because I saw one the other day. Was it Erie County Bills?
Yeah.
It was Erie County Bills.
Yeah.
They had some stuff.
I saw that they had put out that there was going to be someone that was very valuable to the roster, someone like a big name on the roster that was going to get an extension soon.
It's probably Gabe Davis.
People are saying Gabe, yeah. So I was curious what they thought.
I hope we do keep him around. And based on the production he had last year, I mean, for cap purposes, now's the time to pay him.
The better.
Because if he has a monster year,
the Tage Thompson way,
you might as well say goodbye, because he's going to be making a ridiculous amount of money. Then.
Absolutely. And you could probably, like, if you sign him now, you could probably do the lower cap hits in the next few years and pay him later, once the cap rises $150 million. So
you hope?
Now would be the time to do it.
We'll see.
I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that he could be a good wide receiver, too, but moving on, this was just something I saw on Twitter today, and it kind of goes along with the defensive line, was the Dolphins' offensive line was quoted as being a disaster. These are literal quotes.
Shell left.
It's a starting left guard has looked abysmal. Their center and right tackle have been struggling, and it was all based off of a Falcons joint practice, and the Falcons' defensive line is not really like anything super special, so good luck to Tua, I guess, especially with our defensive line.
Yeah.
Because he's already struggled in the past against, not Tua specifically, but
he
struggled to keep Tua clean.
I saw a video of that, and literally every single guy got demolished off the line. It was hilarious.
If that was a game, I think Tua would not have survived that. I think he just ran out of the pocket and threw it away. Like, turned around, was like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
It's just to stick on the Dolphins here for a second, I almost feel bad for Tua, because I do like, he got so much hate, and he actually turned out to be a solid quarterback, and his concussions, obviously, last year were very scary, so that'd be a guy that I would like to actually, him not to be injured all the time and play against him, because I do enjoy watching him, he's a good guy, but I also don't think he's so great that, like, I'm worried about him, so it's just, like, a good enough quarterback that you know, good guy. Hope he stays clean.
Hey, he was doing karate in the off season. I don't know if any of you saw that.
It was jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu, yeah. it was.
To what?
It was to be able to take hits better. He said...
how to fall.
Yeah, he got hit in practice, and he did like a somersault backwards or something. So we'll see if he's doing some jiu-jitsu on the field.
If he knows where he is after he gets hit.
Just gets taken down by a defensive lineman, takes his back, puts him in a rear naked choke. There you go. shout out all the UFC guys out there. Let's move on to the linebacker battle here.
Wait, before we move on, I want to mention Tim Settle really quick.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Because he is probably the odd man out, and I know personally, at least like Hagen and I were very high up on him last year, and we were hoping he was going to take a big step because he was pretty good with the football team or the Commanders. But he's probably the odd man out, and I've kind of seen, I think Bean's kind of been hyping him up, so I'm wondering if they're trying to trade him. But he's probably going to be the odd man out.
That would be my thought as well.
If you want to keep an extra end, you got to get rid of a tackle.
Yeah, well, they won't keep five defensive tackles regardless. I mean, they'll keep one guy in the practice squad, but I don't think it'll be Tim Settle.
I don't know if he's eligible, is he?
I have no clue, to be honest.
Probably not. You know who we didn't mention at all was Boogie.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about the defensive ends, and I think Boogie's kind of the odd man out there, and they could look to trade him, but I just don't think they'll cut him. For nothing. But they might have to, so I don't know.
What kind of return are you going to get on, you know?
How would the Colts like him for Jonathan Taylor?
Nice.
One more thing.
Will ever happen.
They did take Zach Moss, though.
Sneaky guy, DJ Dale, undrafted free agent out of Alabama.
Yes.
Look out for him.
That's a guy I think you wrote about in your blog, and that's a guy you said coming out of Alabama that could be a practice squad.
Yeah, scouts were giving him, like, round three to late day three, like, value in the draft. Like, good undrafted free agent signing.
Yeah, I kept seeing the Cover One boys wanting to draft him in the on day three, and then he got undrafted, and we picked him up. So he's definitely a sneaky guy.
So with that, moving on, probably the most important, the biggest question on the Bills' defense is the linebacker battle. I know that Dodson and Bernard have pretty much been taking the reins there, I think.
They ruled Spector out in the race.
Spector?
He didn't really have a chance anyways, I thought.
The one practice I was at, he made, he almost had a near interception and looked pretty good. He's a big guy, too. Poyer was speaking highly of him after, but yeah, it seems like he's kind of fallen out of that race and that it's really Bernard or Dodson at this point.
Yeah, and there's two ways to look at that. First of all, Dodson is much better against the run, but he struggles in coverage compared to Bernard, who's a lot more well-balanced. So he was a former round three pick, played in what was a really good, really strong Baylor defense 2 years ago. I've always had my eye on him since we drafted him. Thought it was a good development thing to not really play him last year, let him learn the reins, let him develop under Edmonds and Milano, and I'm pulling for him. I think he'll win the job.
Well, that's a guy that is, like, elite in coverage. Or at least he was in college, and we'll see how that transitions to the NFL. But that's where maybe the Bills don't go ahead and say, this guy's our linebacker, too. Which I would maybe find hard to believe, because I think the player who fills this position is still going to be calling plays on the field. But maybe it could be a situation where Dodson is in on obvious rundowns, and Bernard is going to be in, you know, your 3rd-and-12 situation.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, when you're not in that situation, when you're in a 1st-and-10 or, you know, 2nd-and-5, it's going to be tough because if you put Dodson out there, they're going to audible to a pass and they're going to attack him. Yeah. Compared to if you got Bernard out there, they're probably going to try to run it down our throats, which is tough.
Yeah.
But I will say why I lean towards wanting Bernard to actually win the job at the end of the day is we play so many great quarterbacks. So many. And especially when you have to play a team like the Chiefs, who have Kelce and the Ravens, who have Mark Andrews, you got to depend on some of your linebackers here to cover these guys on certain downs and make a play against Travis Kelce, which is obviously the hardest thing you could ask a defensive player. But I think I'd rather have Bernard out there and depend on guys like Milano against the run.
I agree with you. I agree with you, but I will say that our defense has been bad against the run, so I could also see the argument for Dodson just for solely that purpose.
Yeah, Dodson actually, I mean, he's stepped in a few times, too. So he does have that game experience. I wouldn't be surprised if they went with him to start the season. But, I mean, that's another situation where Bernard could be the guy in week four. Like, you just never know. But also, they really haven't, like, I haven't heard a lot about Dorian Williams. Has anyone really heard about anything about him in camp?
I think he's had a solid camp behind Matt Milano. But not much.
That's a guy that I would expect to play special teams and have a heavy special teams role.
I haven't heard much, but I saw a picture of him. Dude's got some monster arms. He looks like a freak of nature. If he could put that on the field and maybe learn under Matt Milano, I think he'd be an absolute stud.
Absolutely. And for what it's worth, in the depth chart, I'm looking at it again here, they do have Bernard slash Tyrell Dodson, the same way that they have Hardy and Shakir. So
yeah,
really seems to be like a two-dog race with Baylen Specter then at third, but he kind of seems to be out of it. I don't think he's gotten many first-team reps in the past
most
week.
Things I've read said he's out.
Yeah. Well, speaking of out, speaking of battles, another huge battle is the cornerback two battle. Obviously, Kyir Elam is a big name, a big topic among Bills fans right now, because that would be the guy that you probably would have expected to be in that role. But looking at the official depth chart, they have, again, Benford slash Elam slash Jackson.
Yeah.
So it's really a three-dog race, and they've rotated. I don't know if you guys have any opinions on that.
Well, first, can we just praise Bean for an absolute monster steal? Dane Jackson in the seventh round a few years back out of Pitt. What a steal. Amazing pick.
And then Benford, too. Wasn't he was he a late pick or an undrafted free agent?
He was late. I think he was sixth.
I think
round.
He was a sixth.
Sixth? Okay.
Yeah, he was a late pick, too. Those are great picks. But yeah, Dane Jackson has been very, very serviceable as basically a CB2 when he was a former seventh round pick. You don't really see that.
Yeah, and I think that's something I've always talked about this, but giving Bean credit for is he's always found value with the secondary. And maybe it's Sean McDermott, too, because he used to be a safety.
Yeah.
That's a group that he probably feels the most comfortable with. But it goes past Dane Jackson and Christian Benford. You know, Cam Lewis is still on the team from UB. He was an undrafted free agent a few years ago. Levi Wallace, who's not on the team anymore, is an undrafted free agent. Think about how they found Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. I mean, Micah Hyde was a pretty known commodity when they signed him, but he wasn't this elite safety.
Same with Poyer.
And neither was Poyer, yeah. So it's really just they've done an amazing job at building that secondary.
Yeah, but who do you think is going to win that battle then for CB2?
I would say Christian Benford.
You think Benford? I think Elam still wins it.
I think it's going to be Elam, yeah.
I fell in love with him from the video of it was one of the – they released it after we drafted him. It was one of the pre-draft meetings when he was sitting there with a bunch of scouts and Bean and McDermott, and he pulls out his notebook of how he takes notes after every time he plays a guy against a certain wide receiver, takes notes on everything, how this guy beat him, when he beat him, so that next time he had to play against this guy – then he already had all the notes down so we can just watch the film and go off his notes. I loved that. Smart, smart kid.
Yeah, Max has his jersey, so he's a little biased.
A little bit.
I want it to be Elam so bad, but I honestly still think it's going to be Dane Jackson. I think that's a very boring answer, but I think at the end of the day, if you got still pretty much two unproven cornerbacks and Dane Jackson's a proven, more consistent guy at least, like Elam definitely has a better ceiling, but I think McDermott will go with Dane Jackson.
I still remember Elam's first interception.
Yeah.
Pat Mahomes in the end zone.
And the thing with Elam, like, he had a pretty solid rookie year for not playing as many snaps as you would like. You would think that he would. And by the end of the year, he was playing very well. I think he had a pick in the Miami game. I could be wrong about that. One of the late games, he had a pick. And he just had been pretty solid throughout the end of the year. So I really thought that he'd take the cornerback, too, and this wouldn't even be a battle. But, you know, props to Dane Jackson, props to Christian Benford, and I think it is that close of a race that you don't have a wrong answer right now.
I think that's a good problem to have.
Definitely.
I'd rather have it like that than have a clear-cut guy, because just builds competition, makes you better at practice.
Also, this is the year that Taron Johnson gets his pay increase.
That is true.
And they've been saying how good he looks. Like, they've been...
Yeah, they've been awesome. They've been really hyping him up, but I've seen him.
That's a guy, too, that, I mean, I think it's been an unsung hero of the Bills. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens, like, 90-whatever-yard touchdown.
Yeah, in the playoffs.
An amazing memory. But if you look, he's consistently one of the leading tacklers on the Bills. He's playing in the box. He's a small guy that just kind of is able to get through blocks and make tackles. So
did it on Sunday Night Football against the Steelers, too, I believe.
Huge unsung hero of the Buffalo Bills, absolutely.
When you have a bad run defense and you refuse to get out of nickel defense because of a player, that just shows how good he is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. So continuing with the secondary, the safeties, and we were talking, obviously, in the cold open, we mentioned Zane Anderson, but this is kind of an interesting under-the-radar battle. Early on, I was saying that I think the four that they have, if you talk about Poyer, Hyde, Hamlin, and Rapp, I don't think that there's a better four safeties in the NFL. But there have been rumblings about the possibility of DeMar Hamlin being cut because of Zane Anderson, some other guys that have kind of made their way on this roster and might be able to craft out a spot for themselves. So I don't know if anyone has opinions on this, has heard anything, but
I kind of think because of the depth we have there, I kind of think we lose a roster spot of a cornerback. I think they might, you know, keep one less just because Taylor Rapp's a great signing. Great signing. I mean, you know, DeMar Hamlin's young, so you never know. And then Dean Marlowe, he's probably going to be left out, but I mean, he's been a solid backup for us for a while.
That's a guy, too, that actually has a connection to McDermott. He was on the Panthers for a very long time. And I think in the year that they had the Super Bowl run, 2015, Marlowe played significant snaps for them. So
we traded for him last year, too.
We did. But like we said, we mentioned Zane Anderson. That's a special teams guy that they like. They signed him to a two-year deal. So it kind of seems like they plan on him having him around, whether it's practice squad or the actual roster. And then Cam Lewis as well. Cam Lewis is the nickel cornerback two on this roster right now on the depth chart, but he's also the backup safety. It's the Hamlin slash Lewis that they went with for the depth chart. So that's just another interesting thing to note, that maybe they keep a roster spot there with Cam Lewis being the backup at nickel corner and at safety.
Yeah, but there is like no dead cap with Zane Anderson too, though.
Is there none?
Literally $15,000.
Okay. So they could cut him pretty easily.
Pretty much. Well, actually 10 technically this year.
That's something that I feel like doesn't matter, but it is something very interesting to at least talk about and keep an eye on throughout camp.
100%.
So with that being said,
one last thing with Hamlin. Like, I know a ton of like people around the league have been like, oh yeah, Hamlin, like, he's not even good. Like, you guys are hyping up a player who wasn't even good. Like, he played very good for us while Hyde was out. I mean, I just looked at the BST Twitter the other day, and your most liked tweet is Hamlin had most tackles on the Bills defense. Like, he's a very serviceable backup and a very good special teams player.
He flies downhill.
Yeah. I was gonna say, he's a heat seeking missile. Yeah.
No, I would, and that's the thing, is there were rumblings about him being cut, and I was almost to the point where I was like, I wasn't even expecting this because I would debate that he was very good last year. I think he's more than a willing tackler. He puts himself in the right spot, but he's still so young that he's going to make mistakes, and he wasn't the best in coverage at times. But I think that's a guy that could be the long-term answer at safety once Poyer and Hyde move on, that you saw flashes of him being a very good safety in this league.
You could be. The thing about, you know, the difference between being a cornerback and a safety, your longevity could be almost 5 years longer in terms of your playing ability. I think that it doesn't help to, or wouldn't count against you to keep on a guy that's been around for three years now.
Yeah, I think this is his third year.
He's going to his third year. Yeah.
Yeah. Who's the Patriots receiver that he demolished?
I think that was
that Thursday. I think it was Thursday Night Football.
Might have been Jacoby Myers.
I don't remember.
I remember they ejected him from the game. I'm pretty sure.
He also had Kenny Pickett late. I remember
that. I was there for that game.
He packs a punch, man.
He does. And also, one more thing on him. I think he's uncuttable in the sense where this guy in the locker room is just going to be a boost after last year. So, like, having him in the locker room just fires up the boys, I think. So that's why I don't think he's cuttable. If you cut him, I think that will hurt some of the morale in the team.
There would be league uproar.
Exactly.
Oh, 100%.
I think he's just a boost for the team from the inside.
Yeah, a lot of people have said, too, like, that he was just the most positive guy in the Bills locker room. Like, just a great guy. So, obviously, Bean and McDermott love those guys. They love those guys who love football. And he seems to be that kind of guy. So, I honestly don't think he gets cut at all.
I don't think he will.
Some people talked about it. I don't think it's a possibility.
It's amazing that we're talking about him playing football again, though. Like, yeah. I did not expect this.
Absolutely.
That's the thing, too. Not even the depth aspect that he brings to the team, but kind of like the no excuses for all these guys kind of like...
Yeah,
obviously brings way more motivation, like, oh, your ankle hurts, you know.
Yeah, right, like, look what I went through. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so...
And they'll play for him, too. That defense will play for him.
Exactly, they'll fire him up.
And one thing I want to mention, last thing with him, I guess, for me is, like we said before, Brandon Bean, that was a seventh-round pick. DeMar Hamlin was a seventh-round pick.
Yeah, that's
there's
right.
Another guy that is still on this team, still contributing at a high level. So, another props to Brandon Bean. With that being said, we got through the offense, got through the defense. I was going to move on, but Max wants to talk about the special teams, and I'm all here for it. So, Max, whatever you want
to
say.
Well, I think first we should go over to JP, because this is a guy that he brought up to me when I was writing that initial 90-man roster blog, an undrafted free agent rookie signing out of San Diego State. Go Aztecs, Tyrell Shavers. JP, go ahead.
Yeah, so we're talking about the Gunners because obviously, you know, Tywin kicker, Jones. Punter, long snapper, that's all a lock. But we still got Ciaran Neal, who's one of the best gunners in the league. But Tywin Jones is gone, and he was our gunner for, what, 2 or 3 years? Like,
feels like a while.
He was a very good gunner, but we need another one now. And, you know, I always do my research on the UDFAs. Hagen knows this. I've kind of called some of the past few ones. I love Reggie Gilliam. I love Quentin Morris. And it's worked out. Last year, I was wrong.
Was it Sternberger? Who was it?
Yeah, it was the one tight end last year.
Jay Sternberger?
He's back on the team this year.
No, it wasn't him. It was someone else. It was a different tight end. He was a UDFA.
Okay.
Oh, it was Jalen Weidermeyer.
Okay.
If anybody remembers.
Oh, Texas A&M. Yeah.
That guy.
He was awesome in college.
Yeah, I thought he could have been really good.
I remember
good.
You talking about it now.
Yeah. But as I was doing my research, I was just looking up these guys' names on, like, Twitter and everything. And Tyrell Shavers, there was this one, I forgot what Twitter account, so sorry there's no shout. But he said he watched every single special team snap of him, and he said he's the best gunner he's seen in college football in the past, like, 5 years. And we know how much McDermott loves special teams.
Yeah.
And if he can establish himself as the next best gunner, like, he's going to be our seventh wide receiver. And, like, I would not be surprised. And, plus, it's been coming out that he's had a really good camp as a wide receiver. This isn't even talking about special teams. So, he is my very underrated guy to make the roster.
Is he even? Oh, no, I see him now.
I wanted I was waiting for that, JP, because you did call Reggie Gilliam. You did call Quentin Morris. So I was waiting for the... You missed last year.
I did.
You got to step it up. But I was waiting for the on-the-record, on-the-podcast call this year, and it was Tyrell Shavers. So I like that.
Can I say something about the special teams? I know we brought them up.
No. Yeah, go ahead.
So anyway, we mentioned Tywin Jones, who was around the organization for quite a long time. Do you remember his most iconic offensive play? I think
It was the Texans.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is
the game sealing play against
this. This Tywin Jones was on this roster, I think 2017, 2018. And the Bills let him go for 2019, and he signed with the Texans. Did that. Yes, and then they brought him back. And then they brought him back. So if the Bills would have had Tywin Jones on the roster, they might have won that playoff game.
I doubt it. I think anyone could have made that play. It was a blunder in coverage.
Probably,
yeah.
Probably.
But I just think that's just Bill's irony.
Well,
right
Milano
there.
Should have had that sack, too.
I
well, it was Milano and someone else.
Yeah. Someone came. Was it Neal?
I think it was.
Yeah, but I mean, the Milano's the bigger guy. You got to make that sack. I mean, I used to be a Milano hater. Now I'm a Milano truther.
Max is the Milano. Max forgot about that. Biggest Milano hater for the past 3 years.
Look, he clearly listened to me and he stepped it up big time. So I don't have to tell you.
Yeah, well,
before we move off special teams, I think the other guys that are looking at for the gunner position, I know Justin Shorter was thrown into that, and Cam Lewis, I believe.
Justin Shorter?
We'll see.
Sure, yeah, the receiver.
That guy running down the field at you?
That would be.
Yeah, he's fast.
He's fast, he's big.
If I was the receiver, I'd run the other way.
He needs to make it as a special teams guy, because he's not going to be a top five wide receiver.
I would like to see that guy hit someone.
Well, he could be six.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He's your sixth receiver.
Six guy.
I talked about this on Twitter. I don't think that they can put that guy in the practice squad.
No.
And no. He would get scooped up. Randy Moss came out the other day and said that.
No.
That was fake. Okay, that was fake. That was fake.
Okay, he was talking about Cedric Tillman.
I heard that
he got baited.
No, and someone I heard that. I heard that. Ladies from, and gentlemen, I heard that from a friend.
We got him.
I heard that from a friend. I heard that from a friend. This I didn't is the see guy that on Twitter
who,
myself.
That's the guy who runs the podcast, runs the show here.
All right, so we're talking about shorter, right? So you got Diggs, you got Davis, you got Shakur, and you got Hardy. Sherfield would be five.
Sherfield's a stud.
So then
he's a good punt returner.
So then who else? I mean, if you're keeping Shavers, you're keeping seven.
Yeah.
So then you'd have to keep shorter or probably Marcel Aitman, a former XFL second overall
pick. On the roster?
Aitman's on the roster, yeah.
Like on the roster?
Yeah. Or? Oh, on the 53-man, yes.
Okay.
You'd have to make a decision basically between Shorter and Aitman.
Yeah.
Unless someone like has a killer preseason and they decide to go probably just
they go.
You probably just put Shorter on the practice.
I'm almost
squad,
banking,
right?
But he'll get scooped up though.
Yeah, he's a fourth round pick. I don't think.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, he'll get scooped up. You gotta. So? Yeah, you gotta.
Former
keep
what like number Dude, one rated wide receiver out of high school?
Well, that's what I was gonna say.
He was a 5-star, I believe, and he also
with that Randy
Moss
too.
At Florida.
They were saying how the Florida offense really was not that good passing, so it really did not help them.
No, they struggled, but he also...
Their quarterback.
He was our fifth-round pick, by the way. We're talking about a guy who's 6'4", and over 500 receiving yards each of his last two seasons, which like doesn't sound like crazy, but, I mean, that's consistency. I'll take it.
I think he's comparable to Gabe Davis pick, kind of. Like, kind of a deep threat, came out of college, his fourth-round pick. Kind of comparable. Yeah.
He's got more size than Gabe Davis, but I mean, hey, I like.
He's got all the intangibles.
Big target for Josh.
Yeah. That's the kind of That was the role I'd comparison I give him. Like, I think he'll be on this team's active roster. I think he will be the sixth wide receiver.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
He'll play special teams and maybe get some snaps on offense. But I think in 2 or 3 years, that's a guy that could be a top wide receiver on your team, a guy who's a legitimate threat downfield.
Yeah, because you got to think like. What if, this is a rhetorical question, what if we don't extend Gabe Davis and he walks?
It's true.
I mean, Shakur's still going to be your inside guy at that point, hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to come up with some sort of replacement. You got to think about it.
Yeah.
I think he's more of an insurance policy, though.
Yeah. You know what wide receiver is really making his case? I think to maybe be wide receiver 3 is Trent Sherfield. Like I feel like every single day I see a play with him and Josh, and
well, he's good.
I was
Dolphins
say.
Fans said how good he was for them. Like might sleepily be our number 3 wide receiver.
I was gonna say it actually pissed me off when someone mentioned him right now on the podcast before, like a few minutes before, because I was like, this is the guy that I'm pounding the table for right now. Like I think Trent Sherfield, and we didn't talk about him because we're focused on the slot, but he's right behind Diggs on the depth chart. I think he's a stud. I think this guy's going to really turn some heads. And if you watch, I think he only had like 2 or 3 touchdowns last year. But the way that he did it, like there just wasn't a ton of opportunity in Miami.
No, I mean, Waddle and Hill steal a lot of targets. But then on top of that, Tua was hurt. So he's playing with Skylar Thompson and Teddy Bridgewater. That's not going to help him.
Yeah. This is just another guy who I think is another under-the-radar pickup for the Bills. And a guy that if he's not the wide receiver we think it is, he is at wide receiver 3. Another guy that contributes on special teams. So they definitely have options. I think it's obvious kind of who's going to make the roster at this point. There could be another surprise in that room. But that's a guy. I'm just mad that I didn't mention him earlier because that's a guy I've been pounding the table for. I think he's going to be a stud for us.
I think the more you look at their depth chart, like I think the only position that you could argue it both ways, but I think we got better at almost – every position, quarterback pretty stagnant, obviously, but then middle linebacker, obviously the big hole. But
I'd argue they got better at quarterback with Kyle Allen as a backup over Case Keenum. But
I've seen not so good things.
I hope we don't find out.
Yeah,
I agree.
I'll say, John brought it up a second before I was going to, is that you could argue that the Bills roster got better at almost every single position,
yeah.
And the national media is so down on us. Like, it's awesome. Like, if they actually did their research, they'd see, like, we upgraded every single position other than middle linebacker. And it's...
Yeah.
That's why I'm so positive for this year, just because of that. Like, we got better, and we were 13-3 last year.
Yeah, I'd rather be the underdog, even though we're really not the underdog.
Yeah. Well, Josh said, he's like, I'd rather not have everybody at camp talking about us. So.
Yeah, exactly. Just more distractions.
So with that being said, kind of shifted through everything there, looped back to the offense. Preseason game coming up this Saturday. Personally, I'll be there. Matt's going to guess you're going to be there.
I can't.
Oh, you can't.
If anyone needs my season tickets.
Yeah, but we'll do a giveaway. DM.
We could. For free,
we could. But that being said, though, this preseason game, what are we looking at? What are we kind of – what battles are you watching? What are you looking for?
I'm looking at Jordan Mims, an undrafted rookie running back. Obviously, we kind of remember Rashad Blackshear last year.
Raheem Blackshear.
I'm sorry. I didn't have the thing pulled up yet.
Casual.
But Jordan Mims, undrafted, Fresno State guy. He had 18 touchdowns last year. It'd be a shame if he had a really good preseason and he's on the practice squad and he gets snatched up. Same thing as last year. But when I originally was writing my my blog here, I said if he stands out and they need him on the roster, Hines is probably a goner. Well, Hines isn't going to be playing at all this year anyways now. So there might be room for him now to play.
That is a good point out of Max. And that's not even something I thought of until you mentioned it. And that was pre-Hines injury. If you look at Hines' contract now, I think it's freeze 5.5 or something, dead cap next year.
Next year is a 5.5 cap hit with a $500,000 dead cap. So cutting him this offseason wasn't going to work. We would have been down a few million in the dead cap. That wouldn't have helped. But actually, if something progresses and you end up not keeping Hines next year, it's an easier out to get rid of him, actually.
Yeah, that's a great point. Circling back to this preseason game, I'm interested, and I know that McDermott's not going to show his cards, but what are we going to see like out of the defense? Even when it's the second and third team, like that's something you can watch for, and it'll be interesting to see if he changes his philosophy or gives us a look that's new that we haven't seen before.
I think he's going to be a lot more aggressive with his defense this year. I don't think he's going to be sitting back like Leslie Frazier liked to do. I think he's going to be a lot more exotic. He's going to be a lot more aggressive, and I think it'll help. So I hope he does show some of that in the preseason.
Absolutely. I'd love to see some of that, and I know that's definitely been a big criticism of the Bills, especially in Bills in big moments. I guess you could also call them Bills moments because typically the Bills will Bills. But that's definitely something to watch for. I don't know if anyone has anything else. John, C?
Who am I looking at? Probably just the wide receivers, how they shake out. Obviously, Josh Allen not going to play.
I don't know, dude. There is a quarterback battle.
He's played in every single preseason. I think he'll get like a
He didn't play last year, I thought.
No, I think he played like a driver, too. He got a drive. Maybe a quarter.
A drive. Okay. Okay. But I mean like actually playing.
Yeah. Why would he play?
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. I hope he doesn't play. But I'm just saying like, you know,
I mean, I know there's always that argument like how Burrow didn't play in the preseason. Then like they came out and were laying an egg basically to start the year. So I know there's always that argument where it's you should get your guy a rep, but
I feel like typically it's preseason, you know, you're going to be limited with the talent you have out on the field. But I think that just skill positions, really. I mean, I'm not really focused on the line. I hope the line isn't like you don't want to see your starters out there. You hope they're going to be ready to go week one. Defensively, like, I just think there's a lot more potential for offensive skill players because I don't think the tackling's going to be there yet. I don't think the game speed is really hit.
Yeah, they're not used to getting hit, yeah.
Yeah, so I want to see who's going to, you know, take this opportunity and hopefully solidify themselves a roster spot.
I'll say I'm also really interested in actually the QB battle between Kyle Allen and Matt Barkley because there have not been good reviews on either of them coming out of camp.
I saw that.
Yeah.
And, like, at the end of the day, like, personally, I really don't care who our backup is that much because if Josh Allen goes down, we're screwed no matter what. But it's never a good thing to see that no reporter has spoke up either of them. So I'm interested if Kyle Allen hopefully, you know, looks better in the preseason.
There are a lot of good caliber backup quarterbacks in free agency, by the way.
Yeah.
There are a lot.
Are there Carson really? Wentz?
Teddy Bridgewater?
No, he's gone. He signed.
Teddy just got signed.
He just got signed?
Yeah, he got signed by the Lions. Casual.
Okay, with that being said...
You're in a pod now. Come on.
I got called out.
With that being said, I wanted to move in some hot takes, I guess, for the year overall. Or we're just going to throw some at the wall because I know the Royal Roundtable did this and it was interesting to go back. So we'll be able to go back to the first episode and see if there's any hot takes. I can start it out if nobody has one off the top of their head.
Go ahead.
I don't have...
You seem like you're ready for it.
I have league-wide ones, not Bills-specific.
You have league-wide.
So I'll go last.
Okay, you can go last. So the one that comes to my mind, and maybe this isn't so much of a hot take, but I think the Bills will have two pass rushers that have 10-plus sacks this year. And maybe you could consider that hot because I don't think they've had a 10-plus sack defensive end or tackle in a while.
Since the Frozen Four?
No, Mario Williams.
Yeah, he was in the Frozen Four.
That was part of the, yeah, the cold front.
Casual?
Oh, here we go.
But, yeah, I think that they'll have two of them. I think it'll be Leonard Floyd or Greg Rousseau and Von Miller.
Could you see three?
You could see three.
Well, when does Von Miller
come back? Could you see four?
When does Von Miller come back,
though? That is true.
It depends.
That is a good question.
But, yeah.
Because he also said he was playing the next week after he tore his ACL. So.
That could mean, though, that Leonard Floyd or Greg Rousseau end up getting 10-plus because Von's out.
You would hope so.
Or Ed Oliver does it.
I mean, you really hope so, hey, if
Jordan,
that's the case.
Jordan Phillips has done it.
Jordan Phillips has? No, I think he had 9.5.
I thought he had 10.
I'll look at it.
Round
continue
it
with
up.
Your hot takes.
Round it up.
All right, I got one. Actually, I got two, but I'll start with this one, then I'll pass it off to someone. This is definitely a hot take. I got James Cook at 1,500 yards this year.
That's a
total yards.
Oh, okay.
Not just running yards, total yards. I think he's going to have a big season. I think he's going to be given the chance to be the guy, and I think he's finally going to be involved in the offense and the passing game too. So I'm expecting a lot of him this year. And it's definitely a hot take. Like, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but...
I asked for hot takes, not like scorching, like as hot as the sun.
I wouldn't be mad if it happened.
I mean, if you think about it, all he has to do is get yourself 1,100, 1,200 rushing yards and collect a good amount of receiving yards and you're there.
That's not that bad, yeah. For what it's worth, Jordan Phillips had 9.5, so he's not been there.
Wow.
Oh, rounded up to 10.
Yeah. So, exactly. Any other hot takes here?
I got another
one. The second one you said, yeah.
Oh, yeah, continue.
Apologies. So, I have not done the math on how many, like, passing yards Josh will have, because obviously Diggs is probably going to have, like, 1,200, and Gabe Davis is hopefully 1,000, but another hot take is Kincaid's going to have 1,000 yards.
I saw somebody in the national media say that, and I was like, I love that they're saying that, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
I think 800 is more realistic, but yeah. I could see it if he takes, you know, it's been hyped up.
I mean, if he gets 5 targets a game from the start, it very well could happen. Like, if they use him how they've been using him in camp, it very well could happen.
Yeah.
Mine kind of plays off what you were saying, Hagen, actually. I actually really think Greg Rousseau is going to post over 10 sacks this year. I think he'll get to that point. I think he'll eclipse it. And I think I really do think he'll break out. I really believe in Greg Rousseau. And then on top of that, on the offensive side, I really think Damian Harris is going to be an important part of this team. I know there's a lot of love for James Cook. He's got a lot of potential. He should win this easily, just be running back one. But I do think Damian Harris is going to get a good amount of touches. I think he scores 7 touchdowns.
Okay. I can see that. Especially, like, James Cook might not be that red zone running back guy. They might look to Murray or Damian Harris. So
between the guards, between the tackles.
Yeah.
Damian Harris is hurt right now, actually. That is something to note.
He'll be back.
What's wrong with him?
I'm not sure, but I think he's out for like a week or two.
Yeah, it wasn't anything serious. No. I think he just tweaked something.
He had his feelings hurt.
Yeah, Latavius Murray behind him, though.
Max, John? You get anything else?
No, those are my two I have.
Okay.
For the Bills specifically...
How about one more? Josh Allen, total 50 touchdowns.
That, I mean, I really hope that happens. I don't think that's that crazy. I don't think it's that crazy.
It's not even that crazy.
Especially with, 17 games now. I mean, the 50 touchdown thing used to be like, I mean, what? It was like only Peyton Manning and maybe Drew Brees or something?
No, Mahomes had it 1 year.
Yeah, I know, before that.
Well, yeah, the league's definitely changed.
But even, did Mahomes do that? No, I think he did that his second year.
What's the most that Josh has had in a season? I'm looking, but...
He had 43... No.
I think his defense being so good kind of hurts him. I think that's why Herbert's numbers are so crazy, though. They also play in a dome. He just gets way more opportunity.
What's the highest he's had, Statman?
I'm looking. Because there's a few years he's had like 36, 35, and then, you know, you got to look at the rushing, too. So I'll get back on this, but John, go ahead with your takes. All
right. I would say these are more league-wide takes, though, not specifically Bills talk. Obviously, I have the Bills winning the division. The Chiefs winning their division. Sleeper team for the playoffs. The AFC North, I haven't really decided yet. Obviously, the Ravens are getting a lot of hype. I'm not convinced by their pass defense yet. They get torched almost every time they play a good quarterback. So I think that's up in the air. I'm leaning Bengals, obviously, but with Joe Burrow's injury, you know, that could linger. We've seen it affect Josh, kind of, but he still played very well through it. I think the sleeper team for the playoffs, though, don't sleep on the Steelers. I think they have a real chance.
Wait, when was the last time they had a losing record?
20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
They're still going.
Who would be sleeping on them?
Well, I'm just saying people say they can't make the playoffs.
Yeah, Pickett's second year. They got...
He was turning up at the end, and I'm not saying that he was he's got that rushing ability, which kind of reminds me of Josh. Obviously, he doesn't have the arm. But I think they're going to sneak in. I think the Jets... Who do you think finishes better, the Jets or the Dolphins, though?
Dolphins.
Jets.
Dolphins.
Really?
You have Jets?
I have Jets.
Second. I think the Dolphins' defense,
The Jets' defense is good, though, too.
You haven't seen...
That's why.
You haven't seen the full year of Tua. So you can't really there. And then the Jets, obviously, they really haven't had a quarterback yet. So it's, like, up in the air. But I feel like the Jets just have too much pressure on them. And I think... Like, I don't know. I don't see the Patriots. I think the Patriots are 7-10.
Here's an argument for those two teams quick. I had this debate with my coworkers like a few weeks ago. Whose offense do you think is better, Dolphins or Jets?
Dolphins.
Dolphins.
I think, yeah. In this,
I agree. I was arguing because someone said Jets, and I was like, nah, Dolphins is still better.
The Jets are just so unproven still, and the hype that they get for Aaron Rodgers, who laid an egg, which also segues into my next... the AFC South. The AFC South, obviously. I think, low-key, I think the Titans still win the division there. I think Jacksonville's...
Ooh.
I think Jacksonville's way too hyped up.
It's definitely...
You think so? 100%. They got another year of Lawrence. They adding Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
Year of healthy ETN.
They're still the Jacksonville Jaguars at the end of the day.
Obviously,
Zay Jones. Kirk.
Bills legend.
Bills legend.
Can't forget him.
East Carolina University.
And then to complete it up, I had the NFC winners. Hot take again. I think the Seahawks win it in the NFC West, loaded division. And then I also have the Saints winning it in the South, which isn't that crazy, but I think the Bucs will give them a run for their money. And the Falcons...
Really? I think
with who at QB?
Kyle Trask.
Baker? It's definitely going to be Baker Mayfield. But that team is still like... Who do they lose from their Super Bowl run? Really, when it comes down to it.
The guy who has 7 championships.
Other than Tom Brady, obviously.
Antonio Brown.
Okay.
Leonard Fournette.
Their coach.
Rashad White is breakout running back this year.
And they lost one of their starting offensive linemen. He retired. The other one went to Cincinnati. Sue?
Yeah. No.
Gerald McCoy.
And then the...
Was he on the Super Bowl team? I don't know.
I don't think he was.
I'm just naming guys.
Yeah, he was on there a long time ago.
He was a stud for a long time. And then NFC North, I have, this is the biggest hot take, the Packers winning it.
So you like Jordan Love?
I think he is better than Kirk, and he's better than Jared Goff.
I'm just going to tell you right now, you're wrong, because the Lions are going to win it.
The Lions will not win it, because they are the Lions.
Bear down.
I would not, not yet. Give him a couple more years. They did make a lot of good acquisitions. And then the NFC East.
Come on, they got our guy Tremaine Edmonds now.
The NFC East to wrap it up.
He's still young.
Obviously, the Eagles. Can't go wrong there.
Okay. The one thing I did want to say, though, I wasn't sure if I was going to put this on the record. I'm going to put it on the record here. And we're going with hot takes, and I wasn't going to do it, but now that we've really talked about the whole NFL, this may be bold. I think that the Jets this year are going to be last year's Broncos. I'm not saying that they will be as bad record-wise, but I think they're way overhyped. They have an old quarterback on a new team. I just don't think it's going to go how they think it's going to go.
If that happened, would you blame Nathaniel Hackett for that too?
You yes. could. You
would,
could.
Would Sean Payton call him out again?
I'm excited for that game.
All I'm going to say is
yeah. 4, I think.
I think so, 425, I know.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one.
I don't think it's going to go how they think it's going to go. I think they could still be a team that goes in the playoffs. Like, I think I'm not going to say they're a fringe playoff team, but I guess they are a fringe playoff team. Like, I think they have to go out and prove it every week.
AFC is tough, though.
I think the Dolphins are much more of a playoff team, depending on Tua being healthy. But
it's funny because I think the Jets have a better roster, but I still think the Dolphins are better. Like, I think the Jets' defense is, like, elite, and their offense has a lot of potential.
It's an offensive league, though.
Yeah. It is.
And who do the Jets have at running back?
Brees Hall.
Coming off big injury.
Maybe Dalvin Cook.
They have Michael Carter.
Michael Carter, yeah.
I hope Dalvin Cook just does not sign anywhere in the AFC East, other than, of course, the Bills. That would be sweet.
Unless it's the Patriots.
No, I don't even want to see him go to the Patriots.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned the Patriots at all.
There's no reason.
You don't trust Belichick?
I heard enough about him the 20 years. They're going to go back. People seem to forget that the 20 years before that were not so kind to the Patriots. So hopefully the Bills can go on a run.
I actually got a hot take when it comes to that. If the Patriots have another bad year, I think Patriots could consider firing Bill Belichick.
Well, at least I don't think they'd fire as the GM.
As the GM,
100% yes. Yeah. You can't have a coach and GMs too.
They wouldn't fire him. They would ask him to resign.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Or front office role or something. I don't know. But John, you said when you were running through, you said Patriots 7-10. Like, I feel like that's even generous. Like, I'd be surprised. Not that they have a bad roster. But the Jets are so good now. The Dolphins are so good now.
But
we're so good
that's
now.
That's the thing, though, is that they're not bad enough to be bad, but they're not good enough to be good.
And if
you
there's
know what
one
I mean?
Thing I've learned, that's not where you want to be, because the Bills were for so long. 6-10, 7-9, 8-8, 9-7.
I mean, their division doesn't help them at all.
Yeah.
And they got a QB who's got a rag arm. So,
I mean, yeah, now they officially have the worst quarterback in the division.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson isn't starting anymore.
Yeah.
I think they'll find a way to beat, like, the Dolphins or, like, the Jets in a game. I don't think they'll beat us, but I think they will find a way to steal one or two divisional games. But I don't think they'll have many wins outside of that. Like, 5, maybe 6.
I don't think they're not, like, a bad team, and people still, for some reason, want to play for them. I don't understand why you're going
Juju
to like.
Now, right?
They have Juju. Yeah.
You're going to a declining franchise.
I've heard out of their camp that wide receiver room is abysmal. I mean, it is on paper anyways, but they're just talking about it like out loud, being like, "This is bad. We might not have a wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2, or a wide receiver 3 worthy player on the roster."
They just extended They extended Devontae Parker.
They gave him
right?
a bunch of money.
Yeah, I just don't.
I don't know why, but they did.
They're just kicking the can down the road.
Well, with that being said, is there anything else, hot takes or anything else that we'd like to talk about today, gentlemen?
I think we should do a quick record prediction for the Bills.
What does everybody think? I like it.
Week by week? Just all together consensus?
Just all together. Like,
yeah.
We're running a little long. Not super long, but let's just go consensus. JP wants to kick us off here.
I'm saying 13-4.
It's a safe bet.
I was going to say 14-3. But obviously, if you're that good, I mean, if you're 13-2 going into week 18, and like, you can always drop an extra game or something just because you don't need to win that game, one of those situations, but 14-3 is mine.
Yeah, you know, I was leaning 17-0. Hopefully 20-0, but probably 15-2.
I like that. I'm going 14-3. I want to say 15-2, but I'm going to say 14-3.
I just think it's our year.
It's the Bills.
It's our year.
It's the Bills. We're not going fit. We're going to have
including preseason.
It's always 3 heartbreaking losses. You know the rule.
Score prediction for Saturday.
Bills 50, Colts nothing.
Are you taking the spread?
The last time the Colts played in Buffalo.
Don't remind me.
Seventh row, 50-yard line behind the Bills.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, let's talk
in the rain.
Let's not even talk about that game.
Good thing that player isn't playing.
I'm going to say 27-19. Missed field goal. Missed point after.
Wow.
I don't even know who the kicker is.
Hot take.
It might be a windy day.
Flaming hot take.
It is what it is.
21-17, Bills.
Okay. Max, you got one? Or?
No.
Okay. I agree. So with that being said, we'll wrap up the first episode of the BST pod here. Thank you if you've made it this far. Going to be another episode coming out hopefully early next week. We can wrap up the preseason a little bit. The first preseason game. Talk about what we noticed. Maybe some more stuff as the season comes along. We're going to try and find something that we can end the podcast here with. Whether it be John and Max having a screaming debate like Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith or some sort of trivia. But with that being said, I guess you can follow us on Twitter at Buffalo Sports Talk, or X, as you call it now. Instagram, TikTok, all the same ads, at Buff Sports Talk. Shout out to the Royal Roundtable, the podcast that you can find on Spotify and Apple. The Royal Report on Twitter and Instagram. I think they also have a TikTok. So shout out to those boys.
And YouTube.
And YouTube. And any closing remarks?
And MySpace.
Before we sign it off?
No, I'm good. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.